Many of you remember Jennifer Hooger. Jennifer Hooger was a longtime member here at the Fort, but she passed away from ALS. Jennifer was quite a snarky person. Even as she battled ALS, she never lost her wit or her snarkiness. I am a tech guy, a gadget guy. I like technology. And whenever I get a text, it will buzz on my smartwatch. Jennifer had particular pleasure in texting me while I would preach, hoping that it would buzz my wrist and throw me off of my sermon. She also would write notes in my manuscript. I preach from a manuscript. And she would write notes at times, like deep in, 6 pages in, and I would see the note, and she would throw me completely off with some note that she wrote to me, sometimes appropriate, sometimes not. But as Jennifer struggled with ALS, she began to lose the use of her hands. So she could no longer hold a phone or an iPad, and she couldn't read texts. She couldn't even speak. She lost the ability to speak. But there was nothing wrong in her mind. Her mind was always sharp, even up to the very end. She was given, through the ALS Foundation, this incredible piece of technology that allowed her to communicate through a computer. And the way that it worked was that it would put on the screen a keyboard. And she would look at the letters, and it tracked her eye movement, knowing what letters she was looking at, and she could spell out and even have phrases, and she could spell out things, and she would be able to communicate. And while she was in her weakest state in her body, through the marvel of technology, she composed the following words that she asked me to share at her funeral. The day that we buried her. This is from Jennifer, in a crippled body, but a strong mind. She wrote, "My faith is not a crutch, but it does help me stand up tall. My faith is not a road map, but it does get me to where I need to go. My faith is not a religion, but it did lead me to a relationship. My faith is not a cure, but it did take me to my healer." Jennifer knew something about healing. Her body was literally ravaged by a very cruel disease, and it was not physically healed. But Jennifer had been healed a long time before her body had ALS. And she knew where to turn for healing. She had turned to Yahweh Rapha many years earlier. I would like for you to open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. This is where we meet this new name for God. But I want to set up the context by telling you that the people of Israel had just been delivered from Egyptian bondage. The Red Sea had swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh. And for the first time, it dawns on the people of God that they are really free. Nobody can make them go back to Egypt and be slaves again. And they break out in celebration in the very first part of chapter 15. We have that song of Moses that the Israelites sang. We have the story of how Miriam and the other women, this prophetess, gathered tambourines and they sang to the Lord. But then in verse 22, we read these words. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why this place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you." Isn't human nature an interesting thing? The same chapter that records Israel's triumphant songs also records the very first grumblings of discontent and bitterness. The stench of Egypt was unmistakably discernible when the winds of testing blew, and how quickly minstrels became murmurers. Life is like that. Have you experienced a crossing of your own only to find that your troubles are not over? Have you, like Israel, thought, if I can just get to the other side of this, my troubles are going to be gone? If I could just get this marriage fixed, if I could just get out of school, if I could just have a better job, my problems are going to be over. But how quickly we begin to murmur after God delivers us from one slavery. Maybe what we need more than not having problems is healing. I want to begin with two very important principles. Write this down. All humanity is in need of healing. Sickness infects this world. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we cannot avoid its tragedies and its plagues, its blights, and its illnesses. I was 15 years old in 1985. That year, there was a horrific earthquake that occurred in Mexico City, Mexico, and it was an international story. All of the media outlets here in the United States showed coverage of the devastation from that earthquake, but that coverage came from one main source of news in Mexico at the time, the Spanish International Network. So as our evening news would share this horrible footage of this earthquake and the disaster that it left in its wake, at the bottom of the footage was this note, courtesy SIN. Not SIN, but the Spanish International Network. But I thought, how striking. You see, sin and disobedience lie at the root of all the sorrow and all the suffering and all the sickness in our world. Now, I'm not saying the individual suffering is the direct result of one's particular sin. You can't make that conclusion, but it is a fact that sometimes a person's illness is due to their sin. We have an interesting case in John chapter 5. There, Jesus finds a man paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus tells him to take up his mat and walk. And in verse 14, Jesus finds that very same man a little later, and he says in verse 14, later, as he found him at the temple, he said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." So Jesus seems to imply that his illness was a direct result of his disobedience to God. But just four chapters after this, in John chapter 9, they walk past a blind man, and the disciples say, "Well, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "No one sinned. This happened so that the work of God could be displayed." So we need to affirm two things. First, write this down. God can be active in wounding just as he is in healing. Remember what he said in verse 26 of Exodus 15? We read it. He said that he brought a lot of diseases on the Egyptians, and he can bring those on his own people as well. They must obey him. We must affirm that God can bring disease and sickness because we disobey him. But we also have to affirm this: healing sickness was a priority in the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus went around healing the sick, it wasn't just because he felt like doing something nice that day. It was because he was making a statement about his ability to reverse the effects of sin. In fact, Jesus saw his healing ministry as much broader than simply physical illness. And so remember in Mark 2, the Pharisees wanted to know why Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners. Remember what Jesus said in verse 17? It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, Scripture often describes humanity's sin problem in terms of terminal illness. Our disobedience, our rebellion against God is often described in the Bible as people who are so very sick. So look with me, for example, Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, we read these words from the prophet. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. That's how God describes a sinful people. And so in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the famous verse asks this question. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's a good question. Who can diagnose and cure a sinful heart? The Bible says only one. And the very next verse, it's God says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And that brings us to the second and very important principle. Write it down. Only Yahweh, Rapha, can bring ultimate healing. Just as all sickness in humanity ultimately finds its root in sin, so all healing ultimately finds its root in God. Man can diagnose, but only God can deliver, because the human physician did not make what he undertakes to heal. And so anytime we see healing, no matter how it happened, no matter what instrument was used, anytime you see healing, you have got to see God at work, because if God could not undo the power of sin, there could not be healing for anybody. And this is one of the signs that we know that Jesus is our Messiah, that he could undo what sin has done to this world by healing people. Look with me at Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. It says this, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. The prophets foretold that you would know that God was among you when you see the power of sin being driven back and sickness was being taken away from people's lives. But I want you to understand clearly that God's healing work goes way beyond our physical bodies. You see, God's ultimate healing is directed at sin's effect on your soul. And this is what God promised to Israel. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, the first part of the verse says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. And if you go back and you read the context of that chapter, God is not talking about delivering people from physical illnesses. He's talking about delivering a rebellious nation from their waywardness, from their backsliding, from their rebellion against God. And the Bible says all humanity is in need of that kind of healing. And the Bible says only Yahweh Rapha can deliver what all humanity needs. Look at what Psalm 103, the first three verses say. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Can Yahweh Rapha really heal all our diseases? Is that just poetic language? Let me show you what I think God can do in the arena of healing. We begin with the Bible telling us that Yahweh Rapha can restore physical health. What he created, he can heal. A really interesting story is in 2 Kings chapter 20. This is the story of the illness of King Hezekiah. Look at the first five verses with me from this chapter. 2 Kings 20. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. Let me say on the subject of God healing physical illnesses, there are two very unbiblical extremes, I believe, today. One of those extremes says that if you can have enough faith and pray hard, God will heal you, and it's guaranteed. The other extreme says, well, God doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. He gave us the Bible. He told us to read the Bible. He told us to figure it out on our own. Now, they would not necessarily put it in those terms, but that is basically what they imply. And I believe both of those extremes are utterly unbiblical because both put God in a box. And you cannot put God in a box. You don't tell God what he can't do. And you don't promise people what he will do. Notice two truths about the text that we just read from 2 Kings 20. Physical healing comes at God's discretion. He is sovereign. He can decide to extend what was going to die. He can choose not to do that as well. He is sovereign and he can heal physical illness when he chooses to do so. And I hope every single one of you can think of a story in this church. One is sitting amongst us, if I may be so bold. Nathan Shanks was healed, I believe, utterly by God. And you can think of stories in your own life where you know that people were healed and the doctor said, we just can't explain what happened today. It just happened. If you don't know stories like that, I can only say it's because you have blinded your eyes and you've covered your ears to the truth of those kinds of testimonies. So God can heal and God does heal and he does it in our midst. But the second thing that we need to learn from this text is this. All physical healing is temporary. God did not say, Hezekiah, you will never die now. He said, Hezekiah, I will give you 15 more years. It is not God's will that our current bodies last forever. In Greek mythology, Aurora, the goddess of the dawn, fell in love with a mortal named Tithonus. And Zeus said to Aurora, I will give you any request on his behalf that you ask. And so, because she loved him, she requested that Tithonus could live forever. But she made a mistake. She did not request that he stay young forever. And so he did live forever. But he aged, and as he continued to age, the aging effects were present in his body, and what she thought would be a blessing turned out to be a curse. Scripture declares that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These outer shells that we call our bodies must decay. Listen to what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And notice Paul's point that temporary sufferings and troubles can actually help us grasp eternal realities. And no one knew that more than Paul himself. Because remember, Paul had a physical malady. We're not exactly sure what it was, but he called it a thorn in his flesh. And he used language that implied it was very painful, very persistent, and quite agonizing. And the Bible says he prayed fervently to God three times to take it away. Let me ask you, do you think Paul knew anything about prayer? You think when Paul prayed, or Paul said that he prayed fervently to God to take it away, that that would have been a powerful prayer? It wasn't a question of his faith. Not a question of his believing if God could or could not do it. But God had an answer for Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I need to be careful that you understand what I am trying to get across to you here. I do believe with all my heart that Yahweh Rapha can heal our diseased bodies, but healing is temporary. It is not God's will that your body, as it is, remain forever. And also, sometimes, God wills that that you and I find grace in our weaknesses. So some of you have experienced divine power from your disease, and some of you have experienced divine power in your disease. And in both cases, you were visited by Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Rapha can restore physical health, but also Yahweh Rapha can restore emotional health. Not all wounds are physical. You know that very well. Some of the deepest wounds in life, some of the most painful things in life, are not to our body, but to our heart. Some of you know what it's like to be deserted by someone who said to you, I will never leave you. Some of you know what it is like to have the person you love the most in life tell you to your face, I hate you. Some of you know what it's like to be cheated and lied to and betrayed. Some of you know what it is like to be hurt, and the anger and the bitterness that you feel as a result just fills up your entire soul. You need Yahweh Rapha more than you can even comprehend. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I think this is some of God's greatest work. And sadly, we often fail to praise him for it. Let me ask you, church, why do we think it less miraculous for God to take bitterness from a heart than for God to take cancer from a lung? Both of them are miracles. I read a story about a woman named Nancy back in the days before social media, when life was good. She put an ad in the local paper and said, I live in a wheelchair and I've got a lot of time on my hands, and so if you are lonely and just need someone to talk to, give me a call. And she listed her number. Started very slow at first, and pretty soon she was fielding over 30 calls a week from people in her town. Let me tell you the rest of her story. Nancy was filled with despair as a young woman, and she jumped from her apartment building window. But she did not die in her suicide attempt. She became paralyzed from the waist down. And as she lay in her bed in a hospital, she felt the Lord speak to her. And the Lord said to her, "Nancy, before you were healthy in body and crippled in soul, now you will be crippled in body and healthy in soul." And Nancy gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And her ministry became talking on the phone all week to people that she did not know to encourage them. I remember the words of Joni Erickson Tada, who said, "I was healed when I embraced the will of God." 3 John verse 2, John prays this prayer, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." That's the Apostle John praying for his friend Gaius. You should take that prayer in and think about it. The apostle is praying, "Gaius, I hope you are as healthy in your body as I know you are in your soul." Would you want somebody to pray that prayer for you? During our service, we sang, "It is well with my soul." Did you mean it? Were you honest? The incredible thing about Yahweh Rapha is that even as these bodies of ours decay, get old, the soul can survive and remain strong. In fact, the amazing thing about being a Christian is that when your body wears out, you can be as healthy spiritually as you have ever been, because Yahweh Rapha can restore emotional health. And finally, you know, and I know, Yahweh Rapha can restore spiritual health. The same God who provided Israel with water has made provision for your eternal health by granting access to spiritual water. Do you remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well? He said in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And I find it very interesting and maybe even divinely planned and ironic that in both cases, in the Exodus story and in the words of Jesus that I just read, that there had to be a piece of wood before you could drink that water. Before the children of Israel could drink the bitter water, that God had to show Moses a piece of wood and instruct him to put that wood in the water. And before you could have access to the water that Jesus gives, he says gives us eternal life, he had to go to a piece of wood and be hung on it. And so the prophet Isaiah said in 53 verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." When Oliver Cromwell was protectorate of England in the 17th century, he sentenced a man to be shot at sundown when the evening curfew bell rang. They marched the young man out. The soldiers loaded their guns. They stood before him, and they waited for the bell. And they waited. And they waited. Finally, Cromwell sent someone to find out why the curfew bell had not rung that evening. Short time later, they brought back a young woman whose hands were bleeding. She explained that she was the fiancée of the condemned man, and she had climbed into the belfry, and she had grasped that big bell clapper with her own hands and held on to it to keep it from ringing against the bell. And when Cromwell saw her wounded and bleeding hands, he said, "Your lover shall live, for your sacrifice has saved him." Room, every soul that you have ever encountered has been infected with sin, and there is only one cure, and it took a piece of wood. And now the Father looks at the hands of Jesus, who were pierced and bloodied, And because of his wounds, we live. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And I wonder if you have applied the cross to the bitter waters of your own life. Because I don't believe that you will ever find ultimate healing until you do that. And God does want you to find healing. So let's close by talking about how you can find healing. First, all that is needed is a heart to seek his healing. You have to have a heart to seek Yahweh Rapha. I want to show you an incredible verse. It's a verse that you may have never even paid much attention to but before this moment, but today I think you'll see it in a different light. It's about King Asa. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12 says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Friends, too many people, even in God's church, have taken the Asa approach with their sickness. We go see doctors, we go see therapists, we go to this group and that technique, and I'm not saying that any of that is wrong, but I am wondering, why don't we go to the great physician and ask him to heal? And what does seeking the Lord's healing involve? It involves first acknowledging that you are actually sick. It involves second undergoing his examination and listening to the word of the Lord speak to your heart about why you are sick. And finally, it involves applying his cure. And friends, that can be tough because sometimes God's word is strong medicine. Maybe your illness is physical, and God's word to you might be hard because it might say this is the why you are suffering as you are, and this is what you must change. Or maybe his hard word to you is find my grace in your illness and live in weakness. Maybe your affliction is in the soul, and God's hard word to you is that you are going to have to repent and cleanse yourself of what is tearing you up inside. And by the way, in the Bible, one of the ways that we do this the most is that we go to the person that has wounded us and we ask and we forgive them for that. And God's word can be strong medicine on that issue. Maybe the healing that you need is spiritual. And again, God's word is strong medicine because God is going to tell you to humble yourself and repent of your sin and stop finding your own righteousness and look to Jesus. And the reason that is so hard is because if we do any of that, we're going to have to admit that we are weak. But listen, true weakness is not needing healing. True weakness is knowing that you need healing and being too proud to ask for it. What is needed is the heart to seek his healing, and all that is needed is the faith to accept his will. Yahweh Rapha can heal all of our diseases. He can bind up the brokenhearted. He can wash away every sin. He can make a body well again. And he does not always grant physical healing, but he always grants access to a tree. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, in his book, The Great Boer War, tells of some English infantrymen who were ambushed by a greater number of soldiers. And they had to retreat. And a number of their men were left out on the battlefield, wounded and bleeding. And when the battalion got back to where they were safe from the mortar fire, they wondered how they could get back and rescue their countrymen out there on the battlefield. And the captain of their battalion, He took a piece of white cloth, tore it apart to make a square, and he took blood from the men there in the bunker, and with their own blood on that white cloth, he made a red cross. And they held up that red cross, and then they were able then to go out and rescue their wounded and their dying. What we need more than not having problems is healing. And you will only find it under a cross. In the meantime, by God's sovereign will, we have these bodies He has given us to live in. And sometimes they break. Sometimes they stroke. Sometimes organs don't work right. And when they do, let us ask Yahweh Rapha for temporary healing as we journey to the ultimate healing that He has provided for all of us. Would you stand up? I would like for you to think back and remember a time when Yahweh Rapha heard and answered your prayer. Maybe it was your sin-sick soul. Maybe it was a wound in your heart. Maybe He did heal your body. But I want you to thank right now, I want you to thank Yahweh Rapha for that healing. Take a moment and do that. Now I want you to let God put somebody on your heart who you know is in desperate need of healing. They need to be healed. And I want you to call out to Yahweh Rapha, and I want you to pray with faith for that healing for that person. Yes, Father, we lift up Your name, Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. You are the God who loves His people. You hear our cries. You know our wounds. And we thank You for what You have done in these shells we call bodies. We thank You for what You have done for the wounds in our hearts. We thank You for what You did on a tree so that our souls could be clean. We thank You that You have prepared for us a place where sickness cannot ever invade again. And You have prepared for us new bodies that will never decay. And we believe in faith that someday we will have ultimate healing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.